Thank you for joining us for Life and Taxes with tax attorney Andrew Foster of Harvell & Collins Attorneys at Law. Call in now with your tax questions at 800-818-2255 or locally at 247-7282 or 353-4674.
And Andrew's in the studio with us this morning. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Ben.
All right, what are we talking about today?
Well, Ben, today we want to focus a little bit on tax basis.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to talk about, you know, a lot of the estate planning, estate tax issues have become really income tax based. And it's as a result of mm-hmm. the estate tax exemption being elevated to such a certain extent that it affects only just a few,
mm-hmm.
Americans, with a $10 million index for inflation
not
exemption.
Not many of us going to get that.
You know, you stack them on top, spouses, you got $20 million there. There's a lot of people that just aren't impacted by the estate tax. And so the interesting thing is that the way that we handle a lot of estate tax issues is, number one, we mentioned we build in flexibility in our plans at Harvell & Collins
mm-hmm.
to make sure in case the estate tax does revert back to a lower level, a $3.5 million level, you know, a $5 million level, who knows, maybe even a $1 million level,
right.
Depending on, you know, who ends up in the White House and is in control of Congress. We do build in flexibility in our plans to make sure in the event that it does revert back that we're able to handle those types of situations. But right now, you know, our focus is on income tax planning.
Right. Okay.
And the reason for that's because when the estate tax is lower, then the idea is get things out of your estate.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you get them out of your estate, then you're not going to be affected by the estate tax. So there's a lot of gifting that goes on and mm-hmm. other things to try to lower the value of your estate. In this particular environment that we're in right now, this tax environment we're in, a lot of it is keep things
in the estate.
In your estate.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because of tax basis issues, Ben. And so, you know, it might be kind of a funny word for a lot of our listeners out there, like tax basis. What does that even mean? Well, really what it means, there's a couple different ways to look at it. Number one is typically tax basis is your cost basis in a mm-hmm. particular item. So, you know, your example here is that you buy a stock. You buy, let's say, some AT&T stock,
mm-hmm.
and it's worth $100 a share when you buy it. And then, you know, you hold it for a little bit, and you decide, I'm really not liking that stock. It goes up, let's say, to $105.
Mm-hmm.
Your amount that you have to realize on your tax return is the difference between those two numbers, the 105 minus
right.
the 100. So
right.
you pay tax on $5
mm-hmm.
is basically the way to look at it. And your tax basis in that regard was that $100 that you paid for it,
because mm-hmm.
That's what you invested in that particular asset. Now, if you
bought the Walmart when it was a five and dime back in Arkansas, you know,
yeah.
if you bought that years ago, or Apple back
the
when
IPO.
Forrest Gump was getting
that's
Apple
exactly
stock.
Right.
So if then and you're holding that in your estate, if you gift that now, then somebody is going to have to pay, if they sell it, they're going to have to pay from the time you bought it.
Yeah,
right?
So this is where the tax basis planning comes into play, Ben, because, you know, if we start with the concept of cost basis,
mm-hmm.
then we transfer that asset. Let's say that we decide, and it depends on how we transfer it, let's say we decide to gift that asset.
Mm-hmm.
So client comes to us, you know, like you said, maybe an older gentleman who's had a stock for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my example, I think that I've looked at recently is Disney stock back in the 1950s and mm-hmm. 60s. Well, it was trading for about 20 cents,
yes,
10
right.
cents, somewhere thereabouts. And that's when he bought the initial shares that he got of his Disney stock.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just say that he decided to gift that stock to his grandchildren. Guess what tax basis the grandchildren take in that particular Disney stock? Is it going to be the 50 cents, the 20 cents, the 10 cents that he bought it at? Or is it going to be the fair market value when he actually makes that transfer, Ben? What do you think it's going to be?
Well, it's going to be the one that doesn't make sense.
That's right. That's
it's
right.
Going the
it's going to be
one.
What we call
yeah.
carryover
yeah.
basis.
Yeah.
And so a carryover basis basically means that the person receiving that gift steps into the giver's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So the grandchildren in this particular hypothetical that I'm coming up with, take the low basis, that 20 cent, that 10 cent
as
basis.
As if they had owned it the whole time.
Correct. As if they had owned it the entire time. And so then the very next day, they turn around and sell that Disney stock that's trading at $50, $60, $70. All that, almost all of it, as you can see, is going to be capital gain in that particular regard.
Right.
Now, let's flip the script a little bit and say that Grandpa decides, instead of gifting that stock to his grandchildren, that he's going to go do some, go meet with an estate planning attorney, and the estate planning attorney is going to say, before you gift that stock, let's think about this a little bit. You know, your basis in that stock is extremely low. And if you gift that to your grandchildren, then they're going to be able to suffer capital gains if they cash that stock in. Instead, what if we leave it through your will and we say, grandchildren, get all of your Disney stock? Well, then guess what happens, Ben, on when he passes away? When he passes away, that stock gets transferred to the grandchildren. But they don't inherit his basis at 10, 20, 50 cents a share. They inherit the fair market value basis in that particular stock as of their grandfather's date of death. So, if they turn around and sell it the next day after they receive it, their capital gain is going to be extremely minimal, because in that particular hypothetical, there's not much fluctuation Disney stock is going to do from day to day for the most part. So it may be that they pay a small gain, or maybe they even have a small little loss on that because they inherited what we call that step up in tax basis.
I know it seems counterintuitive to a lot of people that you get penalized for receiving a gift. But you're rewarded when somebody dies.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's a, it is kind of, but the way, where this seems to show up a lot is it with land or real property transfers. Somebody wants to deed over a house.
That's right. Yep.
And that becomes the tax basis issue, all over again.
Because, we hear it all the time. You know, a lot of our clients, Ben, we start off a consultation and they come in and they say, I want a deed. That's exactly what they say. I want a deed. And, you know, my classic response is go, you don't want a deed. And I'm about to tell you why you don't want a deed. Yeah. And the reason you don't want a deed is because of these very issues that we're going into right now, which involves, you know, tax basis planning. And so it's very critical because, you know, there's certain times and certain aspects and tax considerations aren't the end all be all say all, you know, but we do need to think about that. And we need to think about the structure of what we want, to make sure we maximize the value of the asset that's being received and minimize the tax. That's what we're going for when we try to do these, plan out these transfers. So, you know, if someone comes in and wants a deed, a lot of times what we're telling them is, let's think about holding on to that particular asset and let's talk about leaving it, you know, through your estate. Or if they're adamant and they really, really want a deed, then let's at least retain a life estate in that particular property. So that way we do get that step up in tax basis when the property is ultimately passed to the next generation.
Okay.
So
it holds it off for
a while.
It holds off that tax basis.
So, that's right.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I know I've had those conversations with folks that I deeded it over to my daughter-in-law. You know, I deeded it over to my daughter-in-law because I thought that that it was going to be too much of a fight. When it came time for, but if they spell it out in your will, you know, there's nothing to fight over.
That's right. Yeah. So, I mean, the big thing there is that by giving it over to your daughter-in-law, as you very well said, she gets your tax basis. And a lot of times with this, with real property, especially down in this area.
Oh, yeah.
If you bought that property
for generations,
then, and a lot of times what happened is that it's been gifted over
time.
That's exactly right. So you just keep running into these gift. So inherited basis keeps on carryover basis.
Yeah, and it goes back to the first one.
That's right. Next thing you know, it's like, well, man, what was that property worth back in 1900?
Yeah.
You know?
Bought it for $80.
That's exactly right.
And built the house myself.
So we got to stop that at some point. We got to say, okay, let's get a fair market value step up in tax basis on this. And the way we do it is that we leave it through an appropriate means. We leave it through your estate. And that's a very good lesson. And, you know, this is, the reason I mentioned the Disney stock is that I've got some people I'm working with that on right now, and it's that very scenario. And I was like, man, I wish I could have been involved when Grandpa decided to give you the Disney stock. And then the second thing is that when they sold it, it created a negative tax implication for them because there was no basis in that particular stock. They had this huge gain, that they, you know, they didn't know how to report it. They didn't know what they were doing. And now we're having to go through the tax court and work those types of issues out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all related to, you know, grandpa thinking he was doing the right thing by gifting the stock. Well, guess what? Grandpa gifted the stock, and this is the hypothetical. Grandpa gifted that stock back in the early 2000s. Grandpa died a few years later, and then they turn around and sell the stock just this past year.
Mm-hmm.
So if Grandpa just would have kept that stock, it wasn't like they were giving him the stock to then ultimately sell it. You know, they had got that step up in tax basis if it just would have been left through the will, and it was just one of those poor tax planning decisions that was made. Likely, you know, likely, like you said, Ben, Grandpa wanted to make sure that that got to the grandkids. He wanted to make sure. And a lot of times that's what we hear from our clients is, I want to know they're going to get that property. And, you know, and leaving it through the estate or through a trust is the means, is the easiest, most efficient means to make sure that you preserve that step up in tax basis.
I know one of the complications I've heard when somebody's been gifted a real property like a house is that they had to go back, to lessen their tax burden, they had to go back and figure out what kind of improvements were made.
That's exactly right.
Over time, over, you know, half a century.
Yeah. We start with cost basis, and any improvements that are made, you do add to your basis with those type of improvements. And that's how you try to mitigate your tax. If you end up in a situation where you're trying to add to your basis the best as possible.
And you trying to figure out how to account for a room addition in 1945, you know?
It's tough stuff. That is.
And what dollars? And there, those dollars then are today. So how do you, you know, account, so don't make it that complicated.
That's right. Don't make
it
that
complicated.
Put it in the will. Yeah, the other thing is that if you have an asset that's maybe appreciated, that we're maybe even have a loss on, maybe look at giving that asset.
Yeah.
Don't get these highly built-in gain assets.
Don't
give those away. That's not the way to do it.
Yeah, there you go. All right, if you want to find out more, you can go to harvellandcollins.com and look up past shows. You can also email Andrew A. Foster @harvellandcollins.com.